All right, you're welcome to Ask the Pastor. Yes, this is not a prayer program, and it's not a program for you to call in for prophetic ministration or dream interpretation or marriage counseling. We have sections for that. You can always get in touch with the ministers privately for such situations. But right here is just for us to study the word, get answers from the scriptures. So as the questions come in, we'll give answers by the leading of the Spirit of God to those questions. Okay, this is from Tanzania, Brother Epi MacDemas from Tanzania. He says, Shalom, Pastor, I thank God for the grace He has given as we benefit worldwide since I discovered the Bright TV. It has made me a lover of the Bible than ever. All right, we bless God for that. So your question one says, from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, which was this city? I'm trying to ask, what was that city? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. Verse 9 to 10 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looks for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he's asking which city was, I think that should be Abraham. Yes, Abraham, which city was he?
Which city
was he referring to?
I believe that God showed him prophetically a city spiritually depicted. Okay. Also in Revelation chapter 21.
Okay, Revelation chapter
21 and verse 2.
Okay, from verse 2.
Yes.
Revelation 21 verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Mm-hmm. And I heard. Okay.
So that is the city he saw. And that, interestingly, that city is described from verse 9.
Okay, from verse 9, Revelation 21 says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come thither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Uh-huh. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
And that is the city also Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay.
Let us know in verse 22.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, and it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
So you say the city of the living God is the heavenly Jerusalem, that John saw in Revelation chapter 21. I believe it's the same city that Abraham saw.
Okay. All right. So that's the city that Abraham saw. Okay, the second question from Brother Epima from Tanzania. And it says, from the scriptures, John 17 and 12, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3a. What is it different, or what is different from these two sons of perditions? John 17, verse 12, the sons of perdition.
Now, you have to know, what is the meaning of perdition? Perdition is destruction.
Okay.
Son of perdition is one that leads to destruction. If you lead someone to be destroyed, you are a son of perdition. Using scriptural language.
Okay.
Judas was the one that led Jesus to be destroyed. Therefore, he's a son of perdition. And then the Antichrist will be leading a whole lot of people. You know, to hell, to destruction. So he's also called the son of perdition. And every false prophet is a son of perdition.
Okay.
Anyone teaching error, you are leading people to perdition. Amen. You are a son of perdition.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. So that answers question two from Brother Epima. I think, okay, we still have another part, which says, if a Christian without Holy Ghost commits suicide by any means, will he or she go in the rapture?
If a Christian without the Holy Ghost, you are not a Christian if you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
because
amen.
Romans 8 verse 9 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his.
Yeah.
And we are Christian because we have Christ. So From that, maybe you have to reframe your question. You can see. I believe you're trying to link that with Judas with my teaching on Judas. Maybe that's why you're trying to link son of perdition, son of perdition, son of perdition, son of perdition. I think I've taken time to explain that of Judas. Mm. But whatever it is, let's not worry ourselves too much about that doctrine. We're only trying to use that doctrine to understand the mystery of redemption, you know. Whether Judas is in heaven or in hell, I mean, does not matter. Then what matters now is whether you yourself, you will go to heaven or you go to hell. I think, and you don't have to go and to start with Christ himself. Say he cannot be crucified a second time. The first time you are forgiven, but the second time you will not be forgiven. So Jesus, as Judas crucified Christ once, because he was allowed at that time to do it. Type of Moses. Moses was to strike only once. And that rock is Christ, a type of Christ. So, and Moses struck once.
For the second
I mean, he struck. That's even another one for us to listen. He struck. It was God that instructed him to stroke, to strike. So that life can come out.
Amen.
Water came out.
Yes.
And that was instructed by God himself.
Yes.
And it was God that led Judas to strike.
Okay.
For life to come out.
Amen.
But that is allowed. But now you can't do it again. You know, so I think it's very instructive.
All right. So the other part of the question where every man still asks, can a son of perdition have any relationship with Cain?
With Cain?
Yes.
The Bible tells us in 1 John, this is those who are related with Cain. Okay. The Bible has already shown us those who are related with Cain in 1 John chapter 3.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3.
Yes. Verse 11 and verse 12.
11 says, for this is a message that ye had from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
And that's not the reason Judas killed Jesus. And remember that Cain refused to repent. But Judas repented, regretted it, and who made restitution. So there's no relationship.
Okay. All right. So God bless you, Brother Epima from Tanzania. That answers all of your questions. Four questions to begin with. That's interesting. We have other questions coming in. This is Shalom, Brother Moses and Brother Uba. God bless you. Shalom too. So for some time now, I have been following your teaching and I can see the light it carries. I have some few questions to ask, and that is question one. Can a believer play games, especially football game? Not in physical, but on the phone.
That's a spirit of entertainment. Whatever you do, it's expected that it is adding value to you, either financially, in any way, physically, for physical health, or even emotional health. And most importantly for a Christian, your spiritual well-being. It must be adding value to it. So if playing game on phone, figo, is adding any value to your life, continue. But if it is not adding any value to your life in any way, only entertainment, then you have problem. Because why will a normal human being do something that is not giving him any value? The person has a problem. Yes.
All right. So question two, shall we all die? Because the Bible says we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But some say we shall all die, and I'm just confused.
So which one are you to believe now? What people are saying or what the Bible is saying? God bless you.
Okay, question three. Can a believer filled with the Holy Spirit still be in error because one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to lead us to all truth?
No, you won't go far. The Holy Ghost will bring you back on track.
Okay.
If you have the Holy Ghost.
Okay. So question four from St. Patrick says, I'm convinced that I have the Holy Spirit because I fall in line with the way you explain. But I don't really dream about anything, so I don't know how God can talk back to me. So my question is, how can God talk back to me if not through dreams or voice or supernatural feelings. So can someone be filled with the Holy Spirit and not hear from God? This is Brother George from Ghana.
There are several ways God talks to us. He can talk to us through some other vessels.
Okay. Amen.
And he can talk to us through the word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. There must be a way of God talking to you. It may be your inability to identify it.
Mm.
God talks to us.
All right, so Brother George, you have to find, definitely God speaks to us through various means. So it's for you to be sensitive enough to figure out the means through God is speaking to you. All right, we have other questions coming in. And this is Brother Derek from Gabon. Brother Derek, God bless you. Says, Shalom, Pastor, and shalom to all the bride of Christ. My question goes like this. Pastor, is the power to baptize a believer given only to a servant called by God? Or can a believer or a Christian that is genuinely baptized in the name of Jesus Christ also have power to baptize another brother or sister from another that have accepted Jesus Christ from another church?
First and foremost, the commission is given this way. Go and preach the gospel to all creatures. He that believeth. So you can as well ask, is the power given to everybody to preach the gospel? If you ever go out to preach the gospel, if you are a preacher in any way you preach, and you have converts believing, then you have the power to baptize. Because that person has responded to your message and is giving his life to Christ, wants to correct it. That is what you wanted to achieve by going to preach. So finish your message by baptizing the person.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, then I would want us to balance it. What of a sister?
No, certainly, we know that it won't be a sister, certainly.
But a sister can actually get maybe in a
vocation. If it is a sister, because the gospel, to teach, you know, you usurp authority. The authority offices are given to the men. You know, offices are given to the men. So when a sister goes out, suspected that she's under a pastor.
Okay.
And then she'll bring the convert to the pastor.
Oh, okay.
The pastor continues from there.
All right. All right. So question two from our brother Derek from Gabon says, the Bible I'm using, I bought it with other spiritual materials in one ministry where I was praying before. So after when I received the true word of God, I burnt all of them and allow only my Bible. So Pastor, should I also put away the Bible, or I should continue using it? God bless you, sir.
The reason you burnt all those things is because you found them to be false. So, but the Bible is true.
Okay.
And the Bible is not those people that wrote the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their work of that ministry. And even if it is their work, if it is true, you hold on to it.
Okay.
You are holding the Bible because it is the truth. You are burning all those other ones because they are not the truth, and you want to hold on to truth.
Simple. All right. God bless you, Brother Derek from Gabon. God bless you. Okay, we have another question coming from Zambia, and this is Chileshi. I hope I called your name correctly. If I didn't, please bear with me. From Zambia.
Chile.
And says,
is that another Chile?
Probably. Says, good evening, sir. My question goes like this. As a child of God, is it okay to sue someone who has been insulting you and making accusations about you?
I want you to understand that we as Christians will face persecutions. And we should pray that God will give us the spirit to endure, but to persevere. We will face it. What you do is, if it's taunting you, it's abusing you, what's the person doing to you?
Insulting him consistently and
insulting you.
I think there's an accusation. Insulting you and making accusations about you.
Making you accusations. You see, as Christians, we try by all means to endure some of these things and ignore them.
Okay.
Except it is very obvious, having to do with your life and things like that, meant to destroy your life, kill you or something like that. To sue, that is a civil offense. It's not a criminal offense, except it goes, you know, if it goes criminal, of course, you report to the police. But there are a lot of ways to bring peace, you know, rather than be in the flesh and go and sue the person, except if by wisdom, you are doing it by wisdom to make him keep quiet. Okay. There's a wisdom that can make you so that the person will know that what he's doing is wrong. Mm. You know, and you just take him there, and then when he realizes that what he's done is wrong, then you let him go, because you have the power. If you are the one that's suing, that's a civil offense, you can withdraw the charges.
Okay. All right, so God bless you. So we have another question. Oh, okay, we have Brother Matthew from Benue State. Brother Matthew, God bless you. Please go on with your question.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Sir, I have a question.
Okay.
And my question go like this. The first question I have is that I want to know, since we are a restored church, because I come to realize that during the apostle, many of them were persecuted, many were killed, and including Apostle Paul, he was beheaded and all of that. Since we are a restored church, are we also going to face such thing before the rapture? I'm not talking about the tribulation, but the persecution that took place during the apostle's time. Will it going to happen to us as a bride before the rapture? Then second question, I am in a ministry. I mean, the gathering we have in Makodi here, there's a place where we gather, and the church said that we are not having a leader. I mean, a man that will stand and say, this is what will happen, and there is nobody that can oppose it. We have been in that for a while now, and suddenly a man rise and he said that in the church there must be a leader, that like anything he said is what will happen, of which is causing a lot of misunderstanding and confusion in the church. So in that kind of situation, how can one address such a situation? That is my question, sir.
Okay. Your first question. First and foremost, there is the cross that the individual will bear, individual Christians. Now, with the Lord Jesus himself, let us know this in Mark chapter 4.
Okay.
In Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower.
Okay.
Now, and the different grounds that they fell.
Okay.
Now, in verse 16 and verse 17.
Okay, verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it
with gladness,
and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time.
They endure but for a time.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Immediately. Now take note that he says that affliction
or persecution,
persecution and affliction or affliction arise for what?
The word's
for
sake.
The word's sake. Once you have truly received the word, then expect persecution.
Okay.
Expect persecution. Okay. As a believer. Okay. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 5 also.
Romans chapter 5.
Yes. Now, in chapter 5, verse 3.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Tribulation, yes. Also, difficulties and all the troubles that go on as a Christian.
Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
So God will allow the individual to be trained through these problems we go through.
Okay.
It produces experience.
Mm.
But this is also the reason why we have 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Yes, and verse 13.
Verse 13, it says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
That is for the individual. And Second Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Okay, Second Peter Chapter 2, verse 9.
Gives us that assurance.
And says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
Out of temptations.
And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment
now,
to be punished.
That is for the individual.
Okay.
But as for an age, generally, identification of an age, Jesus Christ made mention in Matthew 16, where he says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail
against it.
Verse 18.
Yes, verse 18.
Read it.
Okay, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now, these gates of hell are what you see in Revelation chapter 6.
Revelation chapter 6.
Now, in Revelation chapter 6, you know, remember chapter 5, the sealed book is received by the Lamb of God, which is Christ himself. And then it is opened. And the first seal, you see there, there is the white horse.
Yes.
Then it transformed to the red horse. That is the period of all the persecutions that you are talking about. And that history, you see them in Fox's Book of Martyrs and all the histories that the church went through, of what the church went through. Then it turned red in the second seal. Then it turned black. And in turning black, that is the Dark Ages. But it is in that Dark Ages that in the darkest of the hour, we have the midnight cry of Matthew 25 and verse 6, and also, which is the first stage of the rapture, Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, called the shout. And that is the restoration, because by the time it got to the third seal, the third seal, the move there is depicted by the black horse, which is the Dark Ages. What produced the Dark Ages? The fulfillment of the parable that Christ gave in Matthew 13 and verse 33.
Okay. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33.
Yes.
Verse 33, and it says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
That is the whole, and the three measures of meal are the three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they changed it, you know, until everything, the light was totally put out. And that is where history tells us about the Dark Ages, almost 1,000 years, where the Bible was withdrawn, and then the Roman Catholicism ruled with their own form of doctrines, other than the true Word of God. But if you notice that it was only fulfilling a principle, you know, for the growth of the seed that is planted, it must die. And so it died. What produced the Dark Ages started from AD 325, where this mixture actually took place, began there. Now, where my attention is going is in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6.
Okay, it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts.
During the Dark Ages. Now, what was he saying?
Say a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny.
Now, you can continue to be doing whatever commercialization of the gospel and penances and all that you were doing.
And see thou hot not the oil and the wine.
In the midst of that, there will be a revival depicted by the oil and the wine. It said hot not, that means it will not be touched. So this revival started from Luther and it continued. And remember, I say it again, as an age, it is now time for restoration. And they could not kill Luther because God said you can't stop it. And it went on and on until Pentecost 1906, until where we are today for the perfection. So as an age, there will be no, you know, identification. Our identification will not be that of persecution. But I want you to know that there are still Christians that are facing persecution in countries where Christianity is not allowed. In parts of India, we hear of it. Pakistan, we hear of it. China, we hear of it. And the Middle East, generally, in some countries there, Saudi Arabia, even Turkey, some remote places in Turkey, and other countries where Christianity is abhorred.
All right, so God bless you, brother. All right, the second question, asking about can a one man lead the church?
Now,
there was an issue of...
Now, the truth about it is there is no setting that allows people to gather without leadership.
Okay.
You know, if you will gather at all, you will gather under a leader. But the problem you have, like those of you in Makudi and the rest, is because there was no particular man that started it all, preached, and then you became his convert.
Okay.
Most of you gathering there are the converts of Pastor Moses Albright Television. Now you all believe and you come together. Now to pick one among you, it will take the Holy Spirit. So you must have leader, but then it must be prayerfully done. You know, you pray and the leader will stand out clearly, not by some ambition. If the person wants to take over the leadership by ambition, he will never have peace there because God will not back it up.
Sure.
But when you allow God to appoint a leader from among you, then he knows how to show you and he will vindicate him and then you all will back him up and then you will enjoy your fellowship. There must be a leader, and if you don't have one, then pray very well. But if one comes to impose himself, that would be wrong. Even if I'm there, I will not accept. I will suspect that it's just an ambition. And I will not, myself, I will not allow it. No. You should all agree and pray over it and have the direction of God. That is how it should be. When this church started, that is how, Brother Assembly, that is how it started. We were about four of us or so, and we are all, and there was no leader.
Yes, sir.
And the people were coming. And then we, when it was clear that this was going to be a church, we needed to set the church in order. We needed to get a name for identification, and we needed to get a pastor that we shall all look up to. And we went into prayer, and with different confirmations everywhere, pointed to me. In fact, the others too, they saw it clearly. When I was saying go and pray, they told me, you are the one wasting our time. We all know you are our leader here. So there must be something that stands the leader out above all others, and not ambition. It's not politics. So get yourself a leader. Wherever you are gathering around the world in the same way, please get a leader when the time comes to get a leader. God bless you.
All right, so God bless you, and God bless you, Bride of Christ Worldwide. So the questions keep coming in, and we have this Sister Maureen from Abia State, Nigeria. And she says, sir, I came across a book written by one pastor in Nigeria where he stated that God is not a mystery and does not work in mysterious ways, that God has revealed himself through his word. Sir, how true is this, Sister Maureen from Abia State, Nigeria?
If God is not mysterious, then why do we have miracles? If God is not mysterious, then the day he ceases to be mysterious, then he ceases to be God.
Sure.
Because what makes him top above all his creature is not just that he created us, but that we are yet to understand him fully.
Yes, sir.
So I don't understand what he meant by that. Salvation itself is a mystery. What is going on the whole earth is a mystery. His existence, if God is no more mysterious, okay, he should tell us, what is God's birth date? And what is his size? What is the color? What is his height? So, is that no mystery? A God that is everywhere at the same time. Explain, oh yeah, carry chalk and draw him. Or snap his photo, let's see him. So I think that question is needs more explanation. God bless you.
All right. So God bless you, Sister Maureen from Abia State. All right. We have another person. Oh, this is from Umaya, Abia State. This is Brother Chinonyerem from Umaya, Abia State. Says, Shalom, sir. I need to understand the relationship between Revelation chapter 11, verse 5, and Joel chapter 2, verse 1 to the end. after the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, is it going to follow with what is recorded in Joel chapter 2?
Let me read it again.
Yeah, I need to understand the relationship between Revelation 11:5.
Revelation 11:5. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of his mouth, devour the enemy. And there's no relationship.
And Joel 2, verse 1 to the end.
Joel 2, verse from one verse 1
to the end.
Okay, there's no relationship.
Okay, and then he's asking the second question, which is the seventh says, after the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, is he going to follow with what is recorded in Joel 2?
After the seventh
angel sounded his trumpet.
No, from the first angel sounding, the first trumpet angel sounding, it sounds and it begins what we see in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29.
Matthew 24 verse 29. Yes. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven.
Now that is the judgment.
The powers of heaven shall be shaken.
That is the day of the Lord. Okay. Which, when he mentioned Joel, I thought he's going to Joel chapter 2 and verse 30.
Okay.
What does it say?
Okay, Joel chapter 2. Sorry.
Yes.
Joel 2 verse 30. And it says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
That is what happens as, you know, the effect of the trumpet angel sounding.
Mm.
And that continues until we reach the seventh trumpet angel.
Okay.
And the seventh trumpet angel sounding rounds up the judgment.
Okay.
Which is what we see in the sixth seal, Revelation chapter 6. I think that is it.
All right, so Brother Chinonyerim from Abia State, trust you got the answer to your question. All right, we have this question also coming in from Mr. John from Benin. It says, Shalom, sir. Shalom, Brother Moses. My question is just one, but in two different forms. It is on the manifestation of gifts and growing of grace. What is the mystery behind this prolonged period of spiritual training and stressing, yet without a notable evidence, having been convinced that such a gift is domiciled in you? So he's trying to find out what is the mystery behind this prolonged period of spiritual training and stressing, yet without a notable evidence, having been convinced that such a gift is domiciled in you. Still going forward, he said, according to Apostle Peter, in Peter 3 verse 18, verse 2, he says, grow in grace. What spiritual parameters to put in place to make our grace grow as regards the manifestation of gifts? Okay, these are more like two questions. So based on
you believe that you have a gift, it's not manifesting.
Yes,
that's the summary of what he's saying.
The first question.
The first question is you believe you have a gift. And it is not manifesting.
Hmm.
You wait for the appointed time. If God put it there, he put it there to use it.
Okay.
And he who put it there at the appropriate time, it will manifest. That's no big deal. And now those of you who have it, how can you grow in it?
Grow in grace, yes.
How can you grow in it? By yielding yourself to the leadership of the Spirit. That's all.
Okay, so let's...
And of course, by exercising the gift.
Gift, amen.
The more you use it, the better it becomes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so God bless you, our brother Mr. John from Benin. All right, so we have other questions coming in, and this is from Plateau State, Nigeria. Jesus Divine from Plateau State. Wow, God bless you, brother Jesus or sister Jesus. Okay, good evening, sir. How can one receive encounter or visitation from God? Second question, can one baptize himself or herself?
Why will you baptize yourself? Somebody will baptize you now.
One doesn't bury himself.
You don't bury yourself when you are dead now. If you are dead, somebody will bury you. Sure. A dead body cannot bury itself.
Sure.
Because you are demonstrating your death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what is it?
The first question was encounter. How can one get encounter or visitation from God?
How can you?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
It's not a doctrine.
Okay.
Maybe you want to ask Apostle Paul.
Okay.
You want to ask. Apostle Paul did not know that there is no Jesus Christ called some personally.
Okay.
Come and follow me.
Mm.
They met with him. Yeah. Another one, Nathaniel,
yeah.
Philip found Nathaniel. And then so he saw it and he followed him,
yeah.
Encountered Christ.
Yeah.
Another one, Apostle Paul, it was a light that struck him on the way to Damascus.
Mm.
So you say, how? There are several ways that you encounter Christ. Mm-hmm. He chooses how to meet with you.
Okay.
Some on the deathbed, hospital bed, and some while praying he appears.
Mm.
And some in a fellowship, in the house of Cornelius. While Peter here spoke, something happened.
Yes, an encounter.
Yes. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room, they had their encounter. So there is no specific way it can come to you. You can encounter him in various ways.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. So God bless you. And so we have questions coming in. Okay. This is Shalom, Pastor, and all the Bride of Christ. Pastor, in your message yesterday, that should be Sunday, you mentioned that in the fivefold ministry, no one will operate in more than one. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But sir, you really called pastor and you still teach, okay, you're really called a pastor and you still teach the word effectively and efficiently, which has been a blessing to the body of Christ. So I don't understand that your statement from yesterday. Please clarify me.
I want you to understand, you can operate a gift.
Okay.
In the operation of gift, you can have more than one gift.
Okay.
But in the office, you cannot occupy more than one office.
Okay.
So, a pastor, certainly part of the gift that you will operate, also a teaching gift, because you are supposed to feed the flock. Mm-hmm. That is the uniqueness of that gift.
Yeah.
That is, if not, how will you feed them?
Yeah.
You know, you must be able to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them the way they should go. That is the work of you know, until I think Scofield matches
pastor.
You know, this is the way it is put, for instance.
Ephesians 4 calls 11, it together.
They call them together.
Yeah, Ephesians 4, 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
So, they tend to use that language to mean it is one office, but I said no, because God gave us five fingers, you know, and it's for a purpose.
Yeah.
It is for the perfecting of the body. He didn't give four, he gave five, and everyone has his role to play. So I teach, but let me tell you, when you meet a real teacher, you will go deeper and better than I teach.
Certainly. Yes.
But when it comes to pastoring, certainly, I pastor. It's leadership. So you can't occupy more than one office at a time, but you can operate several gifts.
Okay.
Yes. What's the second question?
Okay, second question. And says, can a woman teach in church Sunday school with the students comprising of both men and women? Okay, that's the second question.
But there's nothing in the Bible like Sunday school. You're either a church. You are a church and then you have preachers.
Okay.
Nothing like Sunday school.
All right, question.
Why we call Sunday school supposed to be children's church, where they go and teach them on Sunday? That's where the name Sunday school came in. For the children's church.
Yeah.
You know, they go because all you are going is they are going to see them before teacher again.
Yeah.
So it is a Sunday school. But when it comes to teaching, where men are preaching, the Bible does not allow a woman to play that role.
Okay. All right, question three from our sister Obianu Ju. Says, in the mystery of predestination, Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, please explain what Brother Paul was telling the children of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1-14. Okay, they were children of God, but not all of them made it to the promised land, which he said was for our example. So God bless you, sir, and reward your labor of love Your labor of love will never be in vain. And Jesus says, it shall be unto you favor from Abuja. So she's saying the mystery of predestination, Revelation 17.
I want you to note that the Bible says that not all Israel are of Israel. And God sent Moses to his own. Go and tell
Pharaoh.
And he said, Israel is my firstborn. Let my people go. But when they left, the Bible also tells they were a mixed multitude.
Yes, sir.
So it is those mixed multitudes that didn't make it. The true seed will make it. Now, but watch it. They were a mixed multitude and the activities, you know, hindered them entering the promised land. So the question is, say it's an example for us. So we too now, what is our own promised land? Our own promised land is not heaven, going to heaven.
Okay.
Heaven is the ultimate of it. When Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor, as they were laboring in Egypt, and I will give you rest.
Okay.
The rest there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So the promise that we have, which is a type of the wilderness, I mean, journey from Egypt to the wilderness, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So before you receive eternal life, there are some processes you undergo. And after you receive even after you receive the Holy Ghost, you are supposed to enjoy righteousness, peace and joy. If you also don't allow the Holy Ghost to lead you to live by that Spirit of God, and you go carnal, though you have eternal life, you'll be ready for spanking from God.
Sure.
For whom he loves, he chastens it. Yes. So, yes, there are a book of life written from the foundation of the earth, but Ephesians 4:30 tells us that once you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a seal until the day of redemption. God bless you.
All right, so that's all questions. Okay, we have this brother Gabriel from Ekiti State. Brother Gabriel, shalom and God bless you.
Shalom, brother.
God bless you, brother Gabriel. Yes, sir. Please go on with your question, sir.
My question, there is this sister that got married and 3 months after the marriage, traditional marriage, she with the husband had an accident.
Okay.
So, medically, the husband become incapacitated, he can't walk, and he's declared impotent. So he decided to let her go. They returned the bride price, and some normal traditional way have been done. So this sister now, can she remarry?
What?
And my second question is, I was formerly staying in Lafia, but what brought me back to Ekiti? So I don't know where I can worship here in Ekiti State.
See, it was formerly in Lafia, but not in Ekiti.
You are now in Ekiti. Maybe just send us a text and then we will get a fellowship there and direct you.
Okay, sir.
Now, the first question you ask,
yes, sir.
If they are Christians, then that sister will have known that she made a vow that it will be for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health. Now the time for her to keep to the vow, she's failing. Even if the brother tell her you should go, she won't go. If she actually loved him, you will stay with him. You will not leave. That has become, part of your lot in that relationship. So for her to leave and go and remarry, it is wrong. It is very, very wrong. You have to remain with that man and keep praying that God will do a miracle. And even if he doesn't, he knows how he will take care of you in that relationship.
Can I come?
Yes.
All right. The husband decided to go to all this herbal way, traditional, all this fetish way to see how he can go back to life, as in come back. Now, the sister discovered that the family are into all this ritual worship, right? And in the sight of the exchange of vows in the church, it was not formally done. The only two of them met the Reverend Father because she wants to get a certificate for NYC, the church, like she wants to redeploy from where they posted her in NYC. So they rushly went and exchanged vows.
Brother Gabriel, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You know, this Ask the Pastor session is for Christians. It's for Christians. Huh? It is for Christians. They married according to Catholic religion. So at least Catholic that you will ask that question. But I've just answered you now in a Christian setting.
She has changed from Catholic already. She started worshiping online.
Then I am now telling her that that is her husband. She should not leave him.
Sir?
I said she got married and that is her husband. Because of sickness, she cannot leave him. Even morally, it is wrong. Why will you abandon somebody because he's now sick when he needs you the most? God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Brother Gabriel. In case you need to further on that question, maybe you have to contact the pastor privately, because as we said earlier, it's not a program for marriage counseling. Neither is it a program for prayer requests or for prophecy. It's actually just biblical questions. As we always say, when it comes to marriage counseling and all these things, there are a lot of factors to look into. So you can't just get a direct answer on a program like this where we are time bound. So please make sure you can still contact the pastor later on. God bless you, Brother Gabriel. So we still have other questions coming in, and this is from Zimbabwe. Brother Joshua from Zimbabwe says, Shalom, Brother Pastor Moses and Brother Gosson and the entire Bright TV crew. We say shalom to you also, Brother Joshua. Says, my question for today is, what is the water in John chapter 3 verse 5 referring to here? Is it water baptism or something? Because John 3 verse 5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he's asking, is the water there referring to water baptism, or is there something else the water there is referring
born
to?
Born of water.
And of the Spirit.
And of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The water referred to there is water baptism, the process of you identifying with what happened on the cross on Calvary, and this process of sanctification, which we see in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 25 and verse 26.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
That is the process of sanctification.
Okay.
So that water there, it's talking about water baptism and the process of using the word of God as water to cleanse yourself. That is why I think it's Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 8. What does it say?
Isaiah 28 verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean.
So you can see, what table is he talking about? It's where the word of God is dished out.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's the answer to your question. And so we have other questions coming in. Okay, this is from Cameroon. Sister Karine from Cameroon says, good evening, Pastor Moses. Thank God for the work you are doing in the body of Christ. My question is this, from Hebrews chapter 6. Can someone lose his or her salvation? Based on Hebrews chapter 6. There was no specific verse. So
no, he didn't give any verse.
Once
you are saved, forever you are saved. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of salvation.
Okay, I want to point at she's actually pointing from verse 4. That is where she's not understanding clearly.
No, let's see the question again.
Say, if based on Hebrews chapter 6, Can someone who lose his or her salvation? Yes. My question is from Hebrews 6. Can someone lose his salvation?
You cannot lose your salvation.
Okay.
Because the Holy Ghost seals you to the day of redemption.
Okay.
But the problem is that some of us mistake the anointing for the Holy Ghost baptism.
Mm.
So once you have received the Holy Ghost, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
You don't enjoy sin. You won't have pleasure in sin. What is the reason?
For his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin.
Which seed is it that remaineth in him? The seed. The Bible says we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. If it is the word of God that is planted in you, that God worked on you and brought you to salvation, if that word is in you, you cannot have pleasure in sin.
Amen.
If you see somebody who is anointed and is still practicing any sinful lifestyle and is living in it, it's evidence he has not received the Holy Ghost yet.
Amen. All right, so we have other questions coming in. Okay, we have this from Cameron. It says, Shalom, Big Brother Moses and Brother Godson. Please, Brother Moses, I was discussing with a pastor last week and he said you have made corrections on 70 weeks of Daniel, that after the rapture of the Gentile church, only 3.5 years will be left instead of 7 years, which I still believe a week is 7 years. And the Bible makes it clear that only 69 weeks were accomplished. Please, dear Brother Moses, put more light. If it's true, God have added more light. Shalom, this is Sister Unjag Gisele from Cameroon.
No, I have never.
Yes.
I have never made that statement. Mm-hmm. Maybe the person should give you the message where he had me saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed that there's one week left after the rapture according to the divine agenda given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 24. And so it is 1 week, which is 7 years remaining. So let this stand. I've never changed. Maybe that person didn't hear me well. I only said that the tribulation, it will take place in the last 3.5 years. Maybe that is where the person had me on his getting confused. It is there in the book of in Revelation chapter 11 and other scriptures, including Daniel chapter 12. It will be last for 3.5 years. That is the tribulation for the Jews, 3.5 years. But the gospel goes for 7 years. That's the last 1 week, complete 1 week, according to the Bible. In the middle of that, verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, in the middle of that week, he breaks the covenant. So it is one full week. God bless you.
All right. So we're going to go on a very short break. And when we're right back, still ask the pastor. God bless you.